Tuna casserole and cream of mushroom soup aren't exactly haute cuisine, but if Richard Wrangham is right, the real secret of food is in its sizzle. Wrangham teaches anthropology at Harvard University, and he says the invention of cooking, using heat to prepare food, may be the biggest catalyst to mankind's evolution since, well, the Big Bang. Most anthropologists think early man started heating up the woolly mammoth in the fairly recent past, relatively speaking. Not Wrangham. He says cooking came about way before that. And what's more, it's cooking that made us human.
They generally accepted conventional wisdom is that by about 300,000 to 400,000 years ago, almost everybody will accept that the archaeological evidence of the control of fire is overwhelming. And that's an interesting date because nothing really happens to the human frame after that time. So between 300,000 or 400,000 years ago, when you've got this very convincing evidence of fire, and today, the humans look very much as we do now. And really, there are no major changes until you go back to this intriguing date about 2 million years ago, where the pre-human ancestors, the Australopithecines, give rise to the humans. And the big thing that happens then is something to do with the quality of the diet, as measured by the fact that the face becomes smaller, the teeth become smaller, and to judge from the reduced flaring of the ribs, the guts become smaller. And it looks as though we were eating then a diet of higher caloric density. And that's the diet that traditional wisdom says is more meat, and that my colleagues and I are challenging with the notion, well, maybe actually this is when cooking happened.
You know, it occurs to me that we all are pretty comfortable with the notion of feeling more civilized after a good meal, but you've kind of taken that idea to new heights, haven't you?
Well, I suppose so, yes. I mean, there's been this unspoken assumption for a long time that if we really wanted to abandon cooking, we could. And it's amazing that if you look seriously for any cases of people who live without cooking, you can only find extraordinarily extreme examples. The bottom line seems to be that we actually cannot live without cooking in anything approaching a state of nature.
Which leads you back in time to changes in human nature that came about as a result of the addition of cooking to our existence?
Yes. I mean, the thing is that cooking has such enormous effects on our foods, in improving the digestibility and improving the ease of eating, the softness of it, that it is hard to imagine that whenever we became adapted to being able, indeed committed, to eating cooked food, that this immense ecological change would not have had very striking changes on many aspects of our biology. And so as soon as you take that leap and say, well, actually, cooking didn't just add on to our fundamental digestive ability about 5 or 10,000 years ago, but instead has been something that's been part of our biology for a much longer time, asking that question, you suddenly say, okay, well, now let's look back in our biology and imagine when is it that we see the adaptations that accompany the acquisition of this suddenly tremendously improved food. And that becomes a challenge.
Well, I want to talk about some of the specifics that that are involved in this before we go any further. You talk about it cooking making food more digestible, food becoming softer as a result of cooking. Do those things really imply a huge change in the way in which the body needs to be shaped, for instance, in order to accommodate the change?
It's been a problem for the meat idea, which has been dominant for the last 100 years, as to why it is when we start eating meat, we should get these poxy little teeth that we have. It makes no sense. You know, if we're adapted to eating raw meat, then what we ought to do is to have teeth that look something like a lion. And instead, we have a tiny little jaw with a rather insignificant teeth that look as if they're adapted for eating rather soft food. And so suddenly you make the daring suggestion that cooking might go back all the way to around that time, and at least it makes sense of that. This is a bigger change probably than has happened in the quality of the diet than maybe throughout the whole of primate evolution, the improvement in the diet. And it enables the species, our ancestors, to have a diet of much higher energetic quality than before, much more energy per day. And that's the sort of thing that should be signaled in the body. And one very obvious possibility is that it's associated with just an increase in body size.
It's a curious thing, isn't it? I mean, we look at cooking now as such a natural part of our existence that it's hard at first to take it seriously as a point of difference between us and our ancestors. You say, well, for heaven's sake, you know, cooking meat makes it much more easily consumed than ripping it raw off the hind quarter of a mammoth.
Yes, indeed, right. Here's a little insight that I've just had recently, which I think is kind of pretty much new, which is that it's all very well being able to cut meat up into bite-sized chunks and put it in your mouth. But the important thing is what happens after that. Now, chimpanzees have got teeth that are just about the same size and rather similar shape in relation to body size as our ancestors did, say, a million years ago. And chimpanzees eat meat, they relish it, they hunt as often as they can, and when they eat meat, they eat it in one very characteristically striking difference from humans, and that is they eat it incredibly slowly. And if our ancestors ate meat at the same rate as chimpanzees do, then they would have to have been doing nothing other than chewing for between 5.5 and 6 hours a day. So, you know, meat is just a lousy food if it's raw.
Now, that suggests the reverse is true, then, that the addition of cooking the food would have made it possible for spending time with the babies, for planning the future, perhaps. The ramifications of this would be huge.
Yes. I mean, there would be an enormous shift in the way that our ancestors would have used their time. So, instead of going out and finding the food and then eating it on the spot, they would maybe be able to spend a little bit less time finding the food because the foods that they could get would now be of lower quality. You know, instead of finding just berries, you can dig up tubers that otherwise might have been inedible because of poisons, but because you can cook them, it's easy enough to use them, so you can collect foods that are relatively easily found. In fact, the extreme version of the cooking hypothesis, which hasn't yet been fully tested but seems entirely viable, is that our ancestors at about 2 million years ago, who were the first ones that we put into the genus Homo, the Homo erectus, which gave rise to us, Homo sapiens, but were humans from the neck down and was a little bit smaller brained than us from the neck up, that those individuals were the first to cook, and that it was the acquisition of cooking around 2 million years ago which really converted a pre-human ape into our human ancestors.
Does all this theorizing make you approach your evening meal with greater satisfaction?
Well, yes. You know, there's a movement of people, of course, who think that the natural thing to do is to eat raw foods. And therefore, not only do they do so, but they encourage others to do so because it is the instinctive way. And now, having gone through this, I am fully convinced that it is not natural at all. And that, for still an uncertain date, but sometime between 300,000 or 400,000 years ago and 2 million years ago, we adopted cooking, and that is several hundred thousand years is way more time than we need to adapt to this. So now, as humans, we have small guts, we have small large intestines, and we have long small intestines, which are adapted for good absorption of already digested items, such as cooking produces. We have a series of adaptations that mean that we are no longer able to eat raw food, so we shouldn't feel guilty as we chomp down on our nicely cooked meat and veg. It's something that we've been doing for hundreds of thousands of years. It's what essentially makes us human.
Richard Wrangham teaches anthropology at Harvard University.